Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Drop. Greg Wyshynski, Art O'Cal here with you every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your audio podcasts as well. The NHL on ESPN YouTube. Rate it 1 to 10. Wish the Tom Brady roast.
It was a 9.5. It was a little long.
Wow. It was long.
Like, here's the thing. The Tom Brady roast not only was extraordinarily entertaining and hopefully ushers in a new era of roasts that we used to have on Comedy Central all the time. Obviously, it was on Netflix. But for me personally, the more important thing is that it was the most bizarre way to provide closure to the Patriots dynasty. I mean, Belichick and Kraft on stage taking shots, Brady making fun of Gronk, like the whole thing. Listen, I'm a Jets fan. I hate everybody involved in this roast last night. But that being said, it was a good time. And I'd probably say a 9.5. I had a real good time with it.
It was fun. There was a lot of great jokes. I thought Nikki Glaser was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The comedians did a terrific job and some great jokes from the football players as well. Pick the first NHL player, someone involved in the NHL, if they were to do NHL roasts, who would they
roast
first?
The only person I could think of as far as like who I'd want to see there sitting with a frozen smile on his face while everybody dunked on him would be Commissioner Gary Bettman. I think the ground is fertile for comedy. I could see Gary getting up at some point like Tom did at the beginning of the roast and whisper into one of the roaster's ears, "We're not going to make that joke again." In fact, I might think he might do it 5 or 6 times during the roast, if I'm being honest. But honestly, for like the amount of like respect and power that the man has, mm-hmm, commiserate to Tom Brady, I think that's the only answer to that question. Why, do you got a different one?
At some point in the NHL roast series, PK has to be on the dais, either as a joke teller or someone being roasted. But you got to go big, like a Gretzky or someone like that. Like you got to pick like a big, whatever, the biggest player possible that'd be willing to sit there and just have a fun time.
I guess the Brady proxy would be Sid, wouldn't it? Like somebody who is usually above
like
it all,
Sid.
You know, gets some criticism here or there, but isn't necessarily has all the arrows trained on him at the same time. Yeah. I guess Sid would be the player answer there.
So I would classify the Tom Brady roast overall as a winner from the weekend. Why don't we turn it to hockey? Winners and losers. Give us a winner, Wish.
The winner for me, rock-ribbed, flag-waving American netminders, Jeremy Swayman, a .950 save percentage in saving the Bruins bacon. They will not be the first team to squander 3-1 leads in back-to-back series in the history of professional team sports. He is obviously in the driver's seat for playoff MVP as the Bruins go to the second round. And then, of course, the other guy, Jake Oettinger, Dallas Stars. I know we'll talk later about should he be the MVP, should he not for that team. But for me, he is the difference in Game 7 against the Vegas Golden Knights. He remends his reputation, Arda, as a playoff hero after a rocky road last season. Look what a little rest does for the guy. The Otter, Swayman, U.S. goaltending heroes. We are in good shape for the Olympics, buddy.
And also Connor Hellebuyck is in there.
Oh, yeah, and also Tatar Demko, if you wanted to mention him too. Yeah, we've got oodles of goalies in the USA right now.
Jeremy Swayman was amazing in Game 7. We'll talk about the Bruins and Leafs a little bit later on with the great Jeff Merrick, who'll be joining us on the program. But speaking of Jeremy Swayman, a loser for me, apples, the earth, planets, a baseball, and anything else that has a core. A bad weekend for cores, specifically the core four of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Will they even be a core four by the time September, October rolls around, i.e. the next NHL season? This really felt, at least if you're listening to social media, which oftentimes you shouldn't, this really felt like the final time that we will see the Leafs in this current form. The end of the core four, many have said. This is it. All we can stomach. The end is here. The dead end has been reached. Blow it up. Change it up. This is it. This is all Leaf fans can stomach. The core four, no more. Core no more. Hashtag.
Toronto Sun back page. Core meltdown. Probably.
Something like that.
Winner for me, Rick Bonus. Bones. According to Darren Drager of TSN, Rick Bonus is retiring after an incredible run in the National Hockey League that includes a Jack Adams nomination this season, over 2,600 games in the NHL. Listen, he's a winner for me because after they had to settle on him following being rejected by Barry Trotz, who decided to become a GM in Nashville, we all were like, this old guy that just fizzled out in Dallas, And he did great. He did as good as you could expect him to do in Winnipeg, trying to change the culture there, having them play great defense for most of the season. It kind of fell apart at the end, but salute to you, Rick Bonus, a hockey lifer if there ever was one, and a winner in my book. Loser, though, Arda, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh.
Now, the Golden Knights went all in at the trade deadline. You know about Hanifin, you know about Hurdle. And they couldn't win a game seven against Dallas. Yeah, it's a bounce or two kind of game, but they couldn't get it done against the Stars. Coach Bruce Cassidy revealed that 9 players had surgery during the regular season, which did not allow them to really find team chemistry when everybody got healthy. I guess that's what happens when you wait until game 83 to have your captain play with all these new players. He also said that center William Karlsson had a lower body injury that hindered him in the series against Dallas, which was a very tough break for the Golden Knights in the sense that Vegas couldn't just stash him on long-term injured reserve until the conference final and use his open cap space to acquire another all-star.
Surprising winner, Ice Cube's son. Why am I bringing up O'Shea Jackson Jr., you ask? Well, he had a very... He's great on Twitter, first of all, overall. If you're a fan of hip-hop, if you're a fan of pro wrestling, if you're a fan of the Lakers, he's a great follow. He also put up a random hockey tweet. Apparently, he may or may not be a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Okay. Took a jab at Mike Babcock. Apparently, not really a jab. He sort of... There was the news out there that Jim Montgomery got some, words of encouragement from John Cooper and Mike Babcock before game 7. And O'Shea Jackson Jr., after the Leafs lost, basically said, so it's Mike Babcock's fault, expletive this. So apparently he's a Leafs fan, and now we can accept him into the hockey tribe and have him come on the podcast at some point.
He didn't say this, but apparently the advice that Mike Babcock gave to Jim Montgomery is check all their phones. He said, check all their phones. You'll get a good idea of where their heads are at heading into game 7. Just make sure you scroll the whole photo roll and you'll understand your team better.
One final loser. You know what? Sometimes wish we have to be a little introspective, don't we?
We do.
Yeah.
Me and Arda are losers, big losers. What the hell were we thinking picking the Leafs? Now, granted, I only picked them to win the East and picked them to beat the Bruins in 6 because I didn't think they could win a game 7. Lo and behold, I was right. Arda, you picked them to sweep the Bruins and then win the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
What was going on there, buddy?
I picked sweeps all through the first round. I thought it would be hilarious. I got one correct, so that felt good. But I was going to pick the to pull the curtain. I was going to pick the Leafs and sweeps the entire way. That was going to be my gimmick. I was going to be like, yep, Leafs in 4 the entire way through. And now I will just say the Leafs will say 4 instead. By the way, 17 people have perfect brackets on our ESPN Playoff Hockey Challenge. I made 2 brackets. No, I'm in like 12,000th place. What? I didn't even know I could go that low, but there you go. Someone who definitely is not in 12,000th place. He's number 1 in our hearts. The great Jeff Merrick joins us now on the drop.
Oh, that guy.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I can't believe it's taken this long to have this man on the drop, but here we are, the host of the Jeff Merrick Show and 32 Thoughts, your friend and ours, Jeff Merrick is here. Wow. Jeff, I feel like I have to step yes. aside so that you guys can just Why? Do a Marek Wyszynski reunion.
No one needs that anymore.
No one needs that anymore.
We redo it every Wednesday on the radio show, and that's probably enough for people just to remind themselves of like, wow, these two guys used to be entertaining. These two guys used to actually like, these guys like were like OGs when it came to hockey podcasts. Wow, what were we thinking then? What was wrong? We were more high than they were.
Yeah, now everybody has a podcast.
The Toronto Maple Leafs out again in the first round, Jeff Merrick. Yeah. And this one feels oddly familiar, but a little different in that the vibe here is actually change it all. We need to see some wholesale changes with the Maple Leafs. The coach, the executives, the players, like nobody feels really safe here. You are in Canada. You're seeing this. You know, as intense as it can get, what are you thinking and what have you heard or how are you digesting this?
So there's a couple of things here. One, normally when the Maple Leafs do do their media days, do their media availabilities towards the end of the year, once they, you know, bow out in the first round, they try to do it as quickly as possible, where the players, the coach, the general manager, sometimes the president all talk and then it's done. What's different this time around, though, is, you know, here we are doing this on Monday, and the head coach is going to speak, Sheldon Keefe, at some point. The players will speak, but we will not hear from management / executive staff until Thursday. See, the wild card in all of this is Keith Pelley as the new CEO and president of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. And full disclosure, Keith Pelley was, him and Scott Moore, they were the two people that hired me to join Sportsnet. So full disclosure. And I don't think that Keith Pelley is brought in that role to be a church mouse. I think that Keith Pelley is brought into that role to do things. And that's what Keith Pelley has always done. Everywhere he's gone, he's been, you know, the quote unquote sports disruptor. He's gone in, he's done things. He's changed things around. He doesn't want to just leave things the way that they are. So on the one hand, you have all the conversations about, is the coach safe? Which of the players is going to be swapped out here? And then on the other end of the stick here, you have the conversation about people like Brendan Shanahan. And is he safe through all of this? And this is going to be very much at the discretion of Keith Pelley now, who's installed as a CEO and president. So in a lot of ways, all bets are off. And I really do think that it's a tell that management and executive won't speak until later on this week. That, Arda, is huge.
So I think Keith is gone, which is kind of ironic because I actually think he did an okay job in the series against Boston, like changing tactics and adjusting to the injuries and really kind of keeping them in the series by playing more of a simplistic style. I thought he did okay. Yep. But he's not True Living's hire, and we all know how that works. Shanny, who knows? That's probably things that are happening well above all of our pay grades on that decision, not simply just results on the ice. Mm-hmm. Let's focus in on the core four. Let's focus in.
Sure.
Mitchell Marner in particular. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are scrutinizing him more than ever. A lot of people looked at the Pasternak goal and said, that's on Marner. There's the whole notion of them not being able to win in the postseason with a player that will never become the postseason player they think he should be. Yeah. Where do you stand on Marner? 1 year left on the deal. I think he's tradable in the sense that I don't think the no move clause is something that's going to stand in their way. There are ways around it. Yeah. But do you think he comes back next season?
Okay, so a lot to unpack there. First of all, on that Pasternak goal, it wasn't just Mitch Marner. I mean, Morgan Riley was doing statue practice. You can make the argument that the goaltender was a little bit sleepy on that play. And if it's Joseph Woll, does he make a play on that puck even before it gets it?
Yes, he does.
Of course he does. We all know that. So there are a few people sleeping in overtime there, Greg Wyszynski, doing elevator practice, as we like to say, during that goal. But, you know, Marner is a fascinating one. Marner has always been a lightning rod in Toronto. We always, you know, how many times have we had the conversation about the local boy goes home can go one of two ways. It can be a tape measure home run or it can be an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it's Sheldon Surrey back to Edmonton and it completely doesn't work and it falls apart and it's miserable. Like, look, Mitch Marner has always wanted to be a Maple Leaf and Mitch Marner loves being a Maple Leaf. Mitch Marner loves everything about living in Toronto. His family certainly does as well. You know, there are a lot of people that wonder if this is the time where the Maple Leafs go to Mitch Marner and say, okay, essentially, what do you want to do here? Are you still happy here? And if you're not, how can we accommodate to get you somewhere else? Now, he does carry the no move. And of course, there are ways around it. Like, you don't want to, first of all, you don't want to be the organization that comes down with the heavy and just says, like, if you won't waive your no move clause, you know, get ready to watch a lot of hockey games.
You're getting Ryan Reeves' ice time next year if you don't waive your no move clause. Yeah,
exactly. Like that. That doesn't go far for your organization, but I think very much they're going to have the conversation, and I think they have to have the conversation. And unlike other situations, I don't think if you're committed to making a move and getting rid of Mitch Marner and trading him, I don't necessarily think you go into that and say, we can quote unquote win this trade. Because I don't know that you're going to find what you want. I mean, essentially what you're looking for is someone like Alex Pietrangelo. Right. You want something like that. And those types of players are just not going to be available for the Maple Leafs. So it's almost a situation where you say to yourself, okay, you don't want to make a deal just for the sake of making a deal and just get something before he walks away. But you kind of have to go into any type of negotiation for a trade with Mitch Marner saying, A, we're not going to get complete full value, but let's try to get the most that we can here based on our needs and understand, like teams like the Vegas Golden Knights do and other teams do, the cap space is a thing. Mm-hmm. And even the idea of, let's say Mitch Marner refuses to waive and he goes back to the Toronto Maple Leafs next season and you let him skate through the entire season and he walks away, quote unquote, for nothing. He's not walking away for nothing. As we've learned, cap space is a very valuable thing. And if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, what do you need more than flexibility? Well, I mean, you need some stability at a lot of different levels too, but you need flexibility with the roster. Yeah. You need flexibility with the lineup. Like the John Tavares contract, when it was signed, we knew it looked good to begin with. And those last couple of years were going to be tough. Well, here are the tough years right now on that contract. And you have one more of it until you get that flexibility. Either that number comes down and he comes back, or John Tavares sails into the Toronto Maple Leafs sunset. But as far as the Marner conversation goes, I don't think it would surprise anybody if they had that conversation with Mitch. Now, this is under the umbrella of, I think that, you know, Cortex, who represents Mitch Marner, probably thinking they're going in there on July 1st when they can extend, and here's the number we'd like, and let's start negotiating. I'm not so sure that idea has any legs anymore. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a rough go if you're a Mitch Marner fan in Toronto.
Right. For what it's worth, Mitch Marner in the Core 4 era, 50 points in 57 playoff games, more than any of the other Core 4 players. I don't think Leaf fans care at this particular moment, but it is worth mentioning. Let's move on to two other Canadian teams, Jeff.
Sure.
The Oilers and the Canucks. Looks like a great matchup on paper. How are you seeing this one unfolding?
Well, I mean, Draisaitl, McDavid, right? I mean, right away, what do you do with those two problems if you're the Vancouver Canucks? There's a couple of things here that I look at. One, it's always good to have an easy series early, so you're well rested and don't have to deal with a number of injuries, and that's Edmonton. I mean, they're, you know, it didn't take much to dispatch the Los Angeles Kings, and they did. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, the fact that here's the other thing too. You know, the fact that the Nashville Predators were able to stretch the Vancouver Canucks as far as they did, and if it's not, you know, for him, Pooh Suter, who had him, right? Who had him scoring that goal? That overtime may still be going on. You know, we may be sitting here going, is this game going to end here? But I think that only benefits the Vancouver Canucks based on how Rick Tocchet wants them to play and lessons along the way and first time in and all that. Look, I think, like, something's wrong with Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, clearly.
Something is wrong. I have a hard time believing that it is effort or he's overwhelmed or he's, you know, I look at this and I keep saying to myself, okay, what's the injury? Because this is not Elias Pettersson. So that does not bode well for the Vancouver Canucks. Do we see Thatcher Demko at some point this series? I think, you know, injury information, we know at this time of year comes at a premium. I personally don't expect to see him this round, but could be proven wrong. But they have a new folk hero in Latvian Artūrs Šilovs that everyone is very much getting behind. And Greg, you know how we used to gush about everybody from Latvia. Thank you very
Latvia,
much.
Latvia, they know how to party. Hey, listen, Ken Dryden, Patrick Waugh, Cam Ward, Artūrs Šilovs.
Yeah.
Who knows? Hey, the thing I like about Edmonton in the series, though, is that that 1-0 game against the Kings in the first round. Like, we've been waiting forever for the Oilers to show us some variety, some versatility, some we can win on your terms type games.
Yeah.
And maybe they've reached that point as a contender of maturity to if Vancouver is gonna throw what we think they're gonna throw at them, which is a very sort of tight defensive game, that maybe they can grind it out now. And I think that's that was a really impressive variety of different kinds of wins against the Kings. Again, like I said, if the Oilers are good at anything, it's beating the Kings, right? We know that. But that being said, the way they beat them showed you a little bit of maturity as far as like the way that you have to play as a contender.
Here's the other thing too. Are you a lot more comfortable with Stuart Skinner now after watching that Kings series than you were before? Like, I'm not saying we're all getting the soap and warm water feeling here about this goaltender quite yet, but you're probably feeling better about Stuart Skinner now than you were before. Because listen, there were a lot of people, you know, howling around Ken Holland to address the goaltending and get something done and bring in the goaltender. Mm-hmm. They chose not to, and that was them sticking their neck out in a lot of ways. But after that first round against the Kings, you're probably feeling better about it.
Especially that 1-0 game. That 1-0 game was a statement game.
So, yep. Marek, not a light pants feeling quite yet for Stuart Skinner, but we're looking in the closet. Is that what you're trying to say?
I like that. Excuse me, I'm just getting over whatever it was that I had last week. So I knew going on into this podcast with you guys, it was going to be hard because every time I laugh, I start coughing. Yeah. My wife is like, what are you doing that podcast for then? No. You're going to be laughing for 15 minutes.
It's bad.
I love it.
I'm enjoying it. I'm just trying not to cough.
I need community notes, though. I'm like, oh, this is what this reference means.
No, don't
this
worry.
Is from
no,
this
that
episode
one,
that, of.
That one we'll just leave be.
All right, yeah, got it.
That's a really good one. That is
finally, Jeff, the NHL draft lottery happening on May 7th. The Sharks have the best odds, 18.5% to obtain the services of Macklin Celebrini. What result do we want the most as hockey fans, though?
As hockey fans, you want him to go to San Jose. You want the local boy goes home. You want that story. He's back in teal, all of it. And Lord knows the San Jose Sharks need a shot in the arm right now. So, what team needs to win the lottery? San Jose Sharks. I am team Mike Greer on this one all the way. But I got a note last night. And keep smiling, Greg, because I think you're going to like this. Because you were there when my wife saved his life. And by that, I mean his eyeball. I got a note from Sean Leahy last night. Ex of Puck Daddy.
Yeah.
Who said, you know, when Dallas beat Vegas, all I could think about, I'm paraphrasing Leahy here, all I could think about was that moment where the Pittsburgh Penguins won the draft lottery, and in the background, there was late Bill Wirtz yelling, justice, justice, justice. That was all he could think about. We used to tell the story on the old MBSW podcast. Justice, 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 that the Pittsburgh Penguins ended up winning that lottery. So I don't know who would play the role of old owner screaming justice if the Pittsburgh Penguins win the lottery again and get Macklin Celebrini. Oh, but give me that as far as Team Chaos goes, boys. Give me the Pittsburgh Penguins winning the lottery.
For me, I want the Sharks too. I as I said before, like that franchise needs a North Star to follow in the sky for a little bit. Yeah. But obviously the most chaotic one, I think you'll agree, Art, is Utah. Like for
100%, that'd be hilarious.
For Utah to win the lottery after their owner pays $1.2 billion for an entry fee into the league, and Arizona never had won the lottery before that, would be the most hilarious way for the lottery to play out this week.
Couple of things. One, now that Arizona has moved to Utah, does that mean we're all done with the matching suits at the draft table? Two, if Utah does win, is it the only time a first overall draft pick doesn't have a jersey to put on?
Oh, they won't. It's just going to say NHL.
It's going to say it'll be the NHL jersey or maybe a Utah. Maybe they'll make like a Utah, just like a random
something, anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hell, maybe he'll wear a Jazz jersey. Who's to say? Could be anything.
Why not? Yeah, so on Jazz tank top. Why not?
Oh my God, that would be so good. A Jazz hat with the Utah hockey, something like that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I would. Okay, maximum. Also, if the Hawks won the draft, they're at 13.5%.
Don't even speak that.
Bedard and Celebrini, though?
Yeah, I don't know. I think first of all, there were a lot of people retching in the first place when the Chicago Blackhawks won the right to draft.
Yeah, I know. That was rough. Bedard. Anaheim's like, stop it.
I don't know that you want to double down on that one. Yeah, how about Anaheim? Because they could use more, you know, young, high-impact forwards. How about the Anaheim Ducks?
Yes, of course. They certainly could. They certainly could. They're at 11.5%.
Collecting them like figurines in your apartment.
Like Pokemon, yeah.
Exactly. Jeff, you're the best, man. You got to come on more often. Not that you don't have enough on your plate during the postseason. You're on every day on the radio across Canada and 32 Thoughts, of course. What does it take to get on the Montana's Thought Line? Can you give us the secret sauce? Like, tell us the Tony Reale point system around the horn. What is the secret to getting a question on the Montana's Thought Line?
If you think for one second, Arda, that you can bribe your way onto the Thought Line, you are exactly right. Mainly with compliments. Mainly with compliments. Brilliant. That's all. Just feed the ego. Just feed the chimp here. That's all you got to do. Just feed the chimp.
That's all you got to do.
Just remember, feed the chimp that is Merrick.
The most attractive hockey broadcaster to ever live, Jeff Merrick, joining us on The Drop.
And leading off the Montana's Thought Line, we have Arda.
Oh, shocking. Shocking. All of a sudden, Arda from Bristol suddenly gets a question on the mind. I love it. Dude, you're the best, really. And I really Thanks, appreciate boys. You fighting the cough to join us as well, man. Thank you. Thanks again to Merrick for joining us here on The Drop. Let's do a little Conn Smythe watch wish. Who's at the top of the list right now?
Yeah, I'm going to say Swayman's at the top. We have the Conn Smythe watch on ESPN.com. You can read the full list of favorites and those on the cusp and those that have to do a little bit more work to get there. I think it probably goes Swayman, McDavid, Ottinger. In the case of the final two, beyond Swayman, you could make the case for Draisaitl. I think he's got five goals, but McDavid, from the people that I've talked to around the Oilers, is still the one that's kind of driving the bus. I think if you watch that power play that's been so effective, you can see that he's the guy that stirs the drink there. And then the Ottinger one was tough. I've heard from some Dallas Stars fans today about how it should probably be Wyatt Johnston instead of Ottinger. Like, Ottinger was a little bit more up and down in the series. I kind of agree. I no doubt that Johnston has a really strong case, but man, you look at that game seven and you think about those moments in that series where Dallas really needed him. And I think Ottinger probably has a leg up right now on Johnston for the Conn Smythe.
I like that. I like that very much. Let's do a little prognostication. We do it every single round. All the NHL and ESPN talent, writers, et cetera, put in their predictions. Oilers and Canucks. I have Oilers in five. I think they dispatched the Canucks fairly early. I do think the Canucks will put up a fight in those games, but I think the Oilers will be that much stronger in each game. It might be 5-1 goal games. What say you?
I'm going to go Oilers in seven. I think it'll go longer than that. The Canucks are a good grinding defensive team. I do think that we might see some goalie shenanigans for them as the series goes on. And you know, the Oilers had a really easy time against the Kings. I don't think it's going to be quite as easy against the Canucks. They're a tough out. But at the end of the day, like I said with Merrick, they just have shown such a variety of ways to beat you. And that's something we hadn't seen from Edmonton before. So I think that they've learned a thing or two about a thing or two, and they'll beat the Canucks in the series.
Panthers in five over the Bruins. The Panthers just look like they're going to be on another cup final run. The toughest challenge for them will be the winner of the Rangers in Carolina. I think that they breeze through the Boston. You?
Can I tell you a secret? I both completely understand and have no idea how the Bruins beat the Maple Leafs. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I understand why Toronto lost. They're Toronto. It's Boston. It's game seven. It's the first round. It's what they do. But in watching that Boston team against Toronto, like, maybe if Matthews is healthy the whole way, maybe if Nylander is not, you know, out of the lineup beginning of the series, the Leafs advance, because I was left extremely unimpressed with Boston. And I think the deficiencies that they have at center that were really, really, you know, put in the spotlight in that Toronto series are going to be really exposed in this Florida series. Swayman's going to keep him in it, but I do think Florida in five.
This is where I out myself. My gimmick last round was picking all sweeps. Every single round I picked a sweep for the winning team. This round, because I got a little called out on it, doing every single series as a sweep wish, I did it in five. So I think the Avs will win this series. Tongue in cheek, I said Avs in five just to keep the gimmick going. But I do think that, you know, Dallas looks great. Dallas looks dangerous coming out of that seven-game series against the Golden Knights, which could have been a conference final. But I think the Avalanche will have a lot of offensive firepower to solve Ottinger and that stingy defense. What do you say?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I have the Stars in seven. I might go lower than that if Georgiev isn't as, I don't want to say good, but as dependable as he was against the Jets. But I do think it's going to be a long series. And then Colorado was an extremely good offensive team. Good meeting of different styles in this series. But Dallas is special, man. That depth is going to be able to carry them through the series, as we saw in Game 7 against Vegas. So the Stars advance.
The eye test tells me that it's the Rangers' year. They look great. Obviously not really tested against the Capitals, but I have them beating the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I'll go seven on this one too. I mean, I think if the Hurricanes play as they did in the final two periods of that game one, then we're going to have ourselves a long series. If they play like a bunch of morons like they did in the first period of that game and take stupid penalties and allow the second best power play on earth to eat them up as the Rangers did, needing 23 seconds to score two power play goals, then it's going to be a short series. But again, Carolina knows how to do this. Once they get back on their home ice, it wouldn't surprise me to see them hold serve if they even are down 2-0 in the series. It's going to be a long one, but the Rangers, I think, are right now with Florida the best team in the East.
All right. We gave you all of the playoff talk. We postmortem certain teams. We gave you all the analysis and information that you crave as hockey fans. But we also know why you come here and why you watch us or listen to us here on ESPN's The Drop. And that's for the most important conversations. Whatever the hockey world is gripped by, whatever they are truly discussing. And that's why we absolutely have to address this ridiculous Avalanche fan commercial wish.
We do. All right. So throughout their 10-year relationship, Sam and Erica, who you know by now, watched every Avalanche playoff game together except one. And one playoff series, I should say. That would be in 2022, Arda. And the one time they were apart, the Avalanche won the Cup. So what did they do, Arda? Well, Sam and Erica broke up. I have a lot of questions about this commercial, as I think a lot of people do. Let's break it down. First of all, even if you believe in this hockey voodoo, in which their relationship status impacted whether or not the Avalanche win or lose the Stanley Cup, please know that their relationship status had nothing to do with the Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup. Why? Because they were in a committed relationship when Colorado won. They just happened to be in different places geographically. So whether or not they were together, Arda, didn't even matter. What mattered was that they didn't watch the game on the same couch together. Am I right?
1,000%. The fact that they were geographically in different locations would only, if they really wanted to help the Avalanche with their hockey juju, they would just make a pact that they would watch the games in a different building.
Yeah.
If they were in a solid relationship, and by the way, they were together for 10 years.
10 years!
According to this story,
They were blowing out candles on cakes. They were moving mattresses together, for God's sakes.
10 years. According to, here's a stat for you, Wish. According to brides.com, the average length of a relationship before a couple gets married is 2 to 5 years.
Wow.
They were together for 10. Now, I want to be clear. I am not dissing or taking a piece out of couples. If you happen to be listening and you're in a long-term relationship, good on you. I'm talking specifically about Sam and Erica. The stats say that they were on the road to getting married if they were together that long.
Right.
2 to 5 years, they were together for 10. Maybe, so, Wish, just maybe, their relationship wasn't working for other reasons. And they were just looking for some scapegoat. And suddenly the Colorado Avalanche become the scapegoat.
Right. They said in the commercial that their decision to break up was mutual. And I think they are liars. One person has to bring up the idea of breaking up because of the Avalanche. One person did that. And that person obviously has an agenda beyond that. To say that I see this as my escape hatch. I'm 3PO and R2 in the escape pod, leaving the Tantive IV and going down to Tatooine. That's what I'm doing right now with this Avalanche thing. So the relationship was probably on the rocks anyway, and one of them decided to use the Avalanche hex as a reason to get out. Now, let's assume for a second that's not the case. Okay, let's assume for a second that 10 years, they love each other, and it really is about this hockey thing.
Uh-huh.
Did they even have a discussion about watching the game separately from April to June and then getting together in animalistic sexual bliss around the draft? Like, did that, was that even ever on the table? Did they even discuss that as an option, Arda?
That exactly. Hey, we love each other, but we realize that the real thing here is that we have to be physically separate from each other during Avalanche playoff games so that we will our team to succeed.
Yeah,
that's fine. Or be in different cities. Just plan it that way. And right. then come back together and resume your relationship. No, no, no. The best part, here's the thing. In that story, they break up. And then at the end of the commercial, they're in the same building again. So correct. In their own scenario, they will lose that game that they are in, that they're in the same building for.
Like in within the context of their rules that they've created in this universe.
Yes.
This should violate the pact. Like there should be some sort of like fan-driven restraining order that if I see you at a game, I gotta leave the game because now we're watching the game together technically. And like, yeah, they're both there with new partners. The commercial makes that obvious, but they're only a few rows away from each other. They're within eyesight of each other. Like if you really believe there's some sort of cosmic bond between you that's preventing the Avalanche from winning Stanley Cups because of your proximity, then you certainly at least have to move to the upper deck. Now, here's the thing I'm wondering, like, they're not together when the Avs win the Cup. They decide to break up because for the betterment of the franchise. Was there ever a moment in 2023 when the Avalanche were beaten by the Seattle Kraken in the first round where one of them's like, I think we made a terrible mistake? Like, was there ever a moment of that? Of some second thought after it became quite apparent that anything that they do has absolutely nothing to do with how the Avalanche perform in the playoffs.
Yeah, they were physically apart during the Seattle Kraken series, but apparently, no. It was the Stanley
and
Cup
Philip
win.
Grubauer really turned into Dominik Hasek because of them.
Yeah, it's quite possible. Here's what I will say. If the Colorado Avalanche win the Stanley Cup this year, and this couple, Sam and Erica, if their decision proves to be the correct one, and they did, in fact, tip the balance of the juju correctly, then all I have to say is, as the Avs are parading around with the Stanley Cup on the ice and Sam and Erica are proven to be correct, every single couple in Toronto has to break up. Every single one. Right? I'm putting you on notice right now, Toronto. Go text your ex right now in preparation.
Hey, listen, at the very least, I think if they do win because of Sam and Erica, at the very least, they should finally give Erica a ring.
Yes. Yeah, right. Exactly. Erica finally gets a ring because she waited for a decade to get one. Yeah, exactly. Let us know what you think of this excellent commercial in the comments. Let's keep that conversation going. And thank you very much for listening to The Drop. Remember, every Monday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts as well, the NHL and ESPN YouTube. Thanks again to Merrick for joining us on the show as well. And we will see you on Thursday.
Take care.